And I'll apologize to you before I start. You know, you don't know how inadequate you feel most of the time when you do these things and the responsibility that it is. So I ask that you pray for me and remember those that have been mentioned, and also ask that Mike's traveling. I ask that you'd remember him and our congregation. And I know, as Randy mentioned about Bud and Janice, and you know they've had a profound effect on my life all down through the years, and it hurts to see things happen to those that are older than that we've learned from. And I look, and you can be turning your Bibles over to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to start out there this morning. I guess a lot of this morning's lesson is going to be about perspective. You know, when you read God's Word, you think about things when you come across them. It's just like, you know, when you come across God's Word and you read the words, "Well done," that's what we want to hear one day. But you take those very two same words and you go into a steakhouse, and you know what? If you say, "I want my steak well done," it just makes somebody cringe, you know, because of the degree that steak is. When you look over here in the book of Deuteronomy, the perspective that we're going to be looking at today about falling apart or coming together. And in the book of Deuteronomy here, and like I said, some of the things that I read that were just brought things to my mind. And in this chapter, we see Moses speaks to all of Israel about following the commandments that God had given them to do and to go over and to possess the land that he had promised them. Moses tells the children of Israel, he said, "Look, I can't do this alone." In verses 11 and 12, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, "The Lord God of our fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife?" He tells them then that they need to take wise men with understanding and to make them rulers over them and to set up judges over them to hear matters that are to be judged, no matter how great or how small that they are, but they are to be done righteously, in a righteous manner. Verses 13 through 17, that's where we see this, says, "Take wise men and understanding, and known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you." Verse 16 says, "And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment." Moses tells them then on in verse 18, and he says, "And I command you at that time all things which ye should do." But we look at what the children of Israel did, and they didn't follow up. They didn't go in, and they didn't go in to possess the land. Moses recalls to their mind how that spies were sent out to scope out the land, the promised land that was given to them. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a report that the land was there for their taking. The Israelites rather listened to the men that said the land was inhabited by men that were bigger than they were, that were stronger than they were, and that were mightier than they were. These men were the Amorites. Verses 21 here in chapter 1 says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe, and they turned, went up into the mountain, and came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. They took of the fruit. We know how they came back. The men came back with the fruit. Notwithstanding, in verse 26, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. They chose not to listen to what God had told them to do. This is where we begin to see a falling apart. The Lord heard their murmuring, and He was not with Israel, except with Joshua and Caleb. Verse 32 says, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you according to all that He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. That's what the Lord told me He was going to do. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went until ye came into this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. Down in verse 36 it says, except, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it. He shall see the land. And to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Verse 37, also the Lord was angry with me for your sake. He's talking about Moses now, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Then he goes on in verse 39, tells also the young ones that would be able to go into the promised land. In verse 40, but as for you, turn you, take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. When the men of Israel heard this, when they heard what God told them, they wanted to enter into the land. They couldn't. But they decided that they would go and they would try to possess the land. But God wasn't with them. Then this is the part that caught my eye when I was reading through. It was impressed on me going through my daily readings about how that the Israelites were defeated. Verse 42 says, and the Lord said unto me, saying to them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up unto the hill. And the Amorites, which dwelt in that mountain, came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. Now I really started thinking about that chased them out like bees. Now, many of you know that I do keep bees. And when I read that, I started thinking about it. And, you know, when we were boys, we did. Dad kept bees. And we learned a lot of things. We learned that Dad always told us, you ever have a bee come around you and not swat it? That's the first thing the devil tells you. Don't swat at it. You're going to make it mad and it's going to sting you. And I did. We learned a lot of things. A lot of things have changed about beekeeping today. Carla helped me out yesterday. And, you know, we looked into the boxes and we did some things that I'd never done with when we were growing up with Dad, you know, splitting off hives and making new hives. But I do remember there was one time when I had the bees up on the hill behind the house, and I had them fenced off with two strands of barbed wire to keep the cattle from getting close to the boxes. And I had it to where I could open up one end of it and just walk in around the fence to make it easy to get in and out. Well, there was one day that I went up there to, I can't remember if I was checking the honey or if I was, I had a lot of stuff in my hands, my smoker and a lot of things that you use to go around the bees. And instead of me going around that little gate to where I had to get in and out easier to the bees, I thought, I'm just going to step over that fence. Well, it was kind of a slant on that hill where I had them. It was a flat spot where they were at. There's a little bit of a slant. When I stuck my foot over that one side, my foot slipped. And I straddled that fence. And if you ever had a veil on, a bee veil, the way that our veil is, it's got that, look like a safari hat, and got the veil comes down, and then it comes down and it ties. You can tie it up real tight around you. Now, they make different kind of suits now. It's a full-body suit that you can zip yourself in. But I still got those veils. And the first thing that I knew is when I fell down, that big old boomerang hat, it hit the ground. When that hat hit the ground, all I could feel was that veil come up over top of my head. And I could hear the bees coming. And when I got up, I ran about 200 yards. I didn't know that Carla was watching the show. She said she seen how fast I went running by. I had that big white suit on, but I had that hat off, you know, and I was running to get away from them bees. And that's what I thought about the children of Israel. How that it said that the Amorites chased them away as bees do. Let me tell you what, them things might be small, but they got a lot of spunk to them. Fastest 200 yards I ever ran in my life. But when I read about that, I thought about how that Israel, how they were chased away because they did not follow what God's promise was to them and to do what God had told them to do. But Joshua and Caleb were blessed by following the commandments of God, and they were allowed to go in. Then we know that Joshua sent out spies to check out Jericho. And Rahab had hid these spies and protected them from the men of Jericho. Now, what she did, if you turn over into the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 2, Rahab hid these men in her house, and because of what she did, her household was saved. Joshua chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye also will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the man answered her, "Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. So, I want us to look at what Rahab says when she hides these spies. At this time in Israel, it looks like things were coming together for them. Things looked like they were falling apart before they would be able to enter into the land. Now it looks like things are coming together. The thing about news travels pretty fast. Sometimes it's faster than others. And sometimes that's depending on what kind of news it is. Rahab had heard the news of the children of Israel, and it was not by chance that she wanted the protection given to her families because she wanted to protect those spies. Rahab had heard the news. Verse 8 here in chapter 2 says about the spies, "And before that they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, and Sihon, and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." The news was out. What she knew about the news is that she makes this profound statement here. She heard about the Israelites, but she makes this statement, "For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Now, that sounds to me like she is a woman of great understanding about our God. And all this is because she had heard the news. Joshua, he's a man that also understands that just like good news can travel, bad news can also travel just like good news. And, you know, maybe bad news can travel a little bit faster. The thing about bad news is it's usually a result of a trespass or a sin that's committed. You know, you've seen it before. Someone maybe comes up to you and they'll say, "Did you hear about so-and-so and what they did?" And did you hear about what they did, how it affected somebody or something else? Did you ever hear that? Just they come up to you. "Come over here, I want to tell you this." Look at what God had told the children of Israel to do to Jericho. Joshua chapter 6. Verses 17 and 19. "The city shall be accursed. Even it and all that are therein. All that are in there to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, that ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The children of Israel were to destroy everything in Jericho with the exception of what we see here in verse 19. But that didn't happen. Because of what one man did in the conquest of Jericho, something bad happened. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1 says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. In particular, it was caused by one man, Achan. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. By what we see that happens here, when Achan takes of the accursed thing, Jericho was defeated, but what followed was not good for Israel. Joshua had sent out spies, just like he had did before, to go look at Jericho. He sent out spies to look at Ai before they were supposed to go over and to conquer it. Verse 3 says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Joshua sends him out, and he comes back with the message, it's going to be okay, we can do this. These men give the report. It's going to be easy to conquer. If they wouldn't need to take a bunch of men. But what ensued was something that was totally different. These men went up, and it says that they fled from the men of Ai, and that the men of Ai even killed 36 Israelites. Verse 4 says, so there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. When this happens, Joshua becomes very distraught, and he goes before the Lord. Now I'm going to paraphrase just a little bit and say that he asked the Lord, why did this happen, Lord? He asks in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 8, he says, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Joshua understands what will happen when this bad news, gets out. He even says in verse 9, he says here, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear it, this news, and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? He's saying the bad news is going to get out, and then what are we going to do? Then the Lord explains to Joshua what things had happened to them because of, back in verse 1, that Achan had taken of the accursed thing, and why the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. You can read on down in verses 10 and 13, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled them, and they have put it even among their stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. He tells Joshua what needs to be done. And Joshua is a man that follows what God tells him to do. He tells him to go and search out every household, and you will find the one that caused Israel to trespass against God. I'm not going to read all the verses. You can read in verses 18 to 22. Well, it says that they brought each man household by household. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. And then he says here about what it weighed here. And he says, I took those things. He said, I hid them in the midst of my tent. One verse that came to my mind when you think about the sin of this man. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 33 or 23 says this, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, your sins will find you out. I've committed things, and I've done things before that I shouldn't have done. I don't need to tell you what they are. But this verse always came to pass in my life. Be sure, your sins will find you out. The sin of Achan was found out. And Joshua carried out exactly what God had told him to do. You can read what it says there in chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. When this was corrected, then God told Joshua, now I want you to go conquer Ai. And they did that. You can read in chapter 8, verses 25 through 28 here. He says, and so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. Then this news traveled. This news traveled out about Israel. And the Gibeonites, they heard about it and what God had done for Israel because of what they heard. Chapter 9 and verse 3, that news traveled fast. It says, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, these men of Gibeon, they make a league. They make a pact with the Israelites. You can read in verses 8 to 10. It said, and they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. This news traveled fast. Joshua help the Gibeonites defeat the kings that came up. There were kings of Jerusalem, kings of Hebron, kings of Jarmuth, kings of Lachish, and kings of Eglon. They all came up against the Gibeonites, and because that Joshua had made a pact with them, these kings were defeated. Now I think back about how we started, about looking how seemingly it looks like at how things had fell apart for Israel. That they weren't that those that couldn't go over into the promised land. Now I look at what we see here that happens to Israel, and it looks like things are coming together. I look at our country today and I look at our nation. Are things falling apart? I'm going to tell you, it's all about perspective. As Christians, we look at our nation and we see so many things that are happening that it's getting harder for me to say. I think it's getting harder for us to say that this is still the greatest nation in the world anymore. From our beginnings of a nation until today, it's hard not to look at it and say, we're falling apart. I think a big part of it goes back to what God told Moses, what He told him to do. And Moses told Israel that they should set up judges, that you shall not have any respect of persons in judgment. I look at what our nation caters to. We cater to those that have murdered, cater to those who have stolen. There are those that try to control the majority and give all the powers to the minorities. Now, when I say minority, I'm not talking about a race. I'm talking about those like LBGQ, LMNOP, I don't know. I don't know what they are. Whatever it says, men competing as women in sports and taking home national championships. I don't understand it. I don't understand those things that are happening. It certainly doesn't make any sense to me. And I look at that, and I look at our nation, and I think it's easy for me to say, we're falling apart. Think about all the drugs that are out there, all the violence that's out there, all those things that are happening that we never heard of before. But wait. It's all about perspective. Are we falling apart? Are we coming together? I think about what Brother Scott Coffey preached about the other night in our fellowship meeting. As Christians, we should be focused on our final destination, our heavenly home. According to what I see in the Bible, all things are pointed to the soon appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many scriptures that Brother Scott brought out. I'm not going to go back and look at those things, but he made that point perfectly clear. We are to be watching and we are to be waiting. Now, waiting doesn't mean like, yeah, we watch and we wait. That don't mean we're supposed to sit there and just wait. Wait means working. you got somebody that's going to come to your house, if you know you got a visitor that's coming, you're not sitting there watching. You're busy about getting the place ready for them to come. I think about this coming together, and I think about the sovereignty of God. He's in control. He's got this in His hands. Ecclesiastes, if you'll turn over there, this will be our last verse. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. You know, God's got a plan in place. He has had that plan in place in eternity's past. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13 says, "Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which He hath made crooked? In the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him." He's in control. He's got this. But what do? We're waiting. But this waiting means that we're to be doing about going about the Lord's business. About this news that needs to be heard, that we're to spread, that we're to tell others. That's our duty, that we're to spread the gospel message to all mankind. Without that message, men cannot hear that they need to turn to Jesus and repent of their sins. So we fall apart, or we come together. That's all I got. Brother Randy, you want to come lead us in a song?